We are here, and Jack is not. So he is on, he's on hiatus for a while, and he's going to not be here. But I get to talk to two pretty awesome people from our museum with the event coming up this weekend. I'll let you girls introduce yourself.
I'm Kim Rammel. I'm the site manager of the Fort Recovery Museum and president of the Historical Society.
Awesome.
And I'm Chris Thompson, and I'm a member of the Fort Recovery Historical Society, and I'm also an archaeologist at Ball State University, and we've had a research relationship with the Museum and Historical Society for the last 15 years.
Yes, you have, and it's been something else. And you have kind of, I don't know if this is the culmination, but it's a high spot of all of that research you've been doing coming up this weekend. Just give us a brief overview, and then a little bit we'll get into lots of details.
Yeah, okay. So on this Saturday and Sunday, so October 19th and 20th, we proudly are hosting 10 tribal citizens from federally recognized tribes. And all these tribal citizens are from tribes that are descended from the 9 tribes that were victorious in St. Clair's defeat. So this land and battlefield is very special to them, and we're just honored to host them. They're going to be presenting on different aspects of their culture and language, and they'll also have like display tables. There'll be games. We'll have Ottawa Bingo in the Ottawa language. You'll get a cheat sheet.
That's good, because it's been a couple of years since I've spoken Ottawa.
Yeah, right. There'll be all kinds of family and kind of fun activities, and lots of education take place. And we're also formally debuting our new exhibit, permanent exhibit, St. Clair's Defeat Revisited, A New View of the Conflict. And several of the people here this weekend were integral in the creation of that exhibit.
That's really good. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll get into details and find out. And you mentioned education. It's not just for the kids. There's a whole bunch of us, probably as recently as 5 years ago, none of us knew this story.
Yeah.
So it's, and probably now, very few of us know the story. The ones that were here last year and know some of it, but there's so much to this. So we'll be back in just a little bit. We'll get into details.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The staff of Fort Recovery Local School would like to invite the community to a special dedication ceremony of the new Joe Bruns Memorial Putting Green, established in honor of our beloved former teacher and coach, Mr. Joe Bruns. Please join us and the Bruns family on the front lawn of the elementary middle school at 5:45 p.m. on Friday, October 18th, as we celebrate Joe's contributions to our school community and the lasting impact he made on all of us. Then be sure to head to the football field after the dedication for the final home football game of the season and senior night as we recognize our Indian senior football players and cheerleaders. We hope to see you October 18th for this special night, beginning at 5:45 p.m. at the Joe Brenz Memorial Putting Green, located next to the baseball field at the elementary middle school.
Welcome back to Insight. We have Chris Thompson and Kim Rammel talking with us tonight, talking about the big event coming up this weekend. So where do we want to start?
I want to back up a little bit and tell everybody this is free. This
two
full days of activity.
Very important.
It's all free. It's all been funded by a grant.
Free to the public. It wasn't free to the Historical Society, I'm pretty sure.
We got a grant, so a lot was funded.
That's awesome.
Ohio Humanities grant. So, yeah, that's awesome. And Chris put all the work into getting the grant.
Yeah, she's done a lot of that with a whole bunch of grants.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of work to the grant. But once she gets the grant, she really goes to work. And all that, you know, there's so much information that you've come up with over the last decade or so that's never been known before. So
yeah, and it all ties into this. I mean, this is a culmination, especially for Chris. This has been so many years of work.
Yep.
So I think it's extra special for her.
Yeah.
Well, special for me because I get to be a part of it. I get to be like an instrument in this. But I'll just list off what's going on. On Saturday, we have a pretty impressive lineup. I'll list their names, and Chris is going to describe who they are and what they do. So at 10:30, we have Logan York and Jared Nally of the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma. At noon, we have Chief Glenna Wallace of the Eastern Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma. At 1:30, we have Kim Garcia of the Wyandotte Nation. And at 3, we have Chief Kalisha Pheasant and Rhonda Hayworth of the Ottawa Tribe of Oklahoma. So I'll pass it to Chris, and she can kind of give a little more information about each of these.
So Logan and Jared. So Logan is a tribal historic preservation officer for the Miami Tribe, and Jared is the deputy tribal historic preservation officer. So these people basically work preserving historic sites and preserving their culture every day. That's their job. Mm-hmm. Chief Glenna Wallace is the chief of the Eastern Shawnee Tribe, and she's been, I'm going to get the wrong number, but like 16, 17 years, I think, was the first woman chief. Very special person. So she...
she was here last year, correct?
She was not.
Okay.
Jared was here last year. So Jared Nally from the Miami was here last year. And he's specializes in weaving, like textiles, and gives fascinating demonstrations and presentations and really good with the public. Logan does silver work and other other kind of cultural things. And then Chief Wallace, we're going to have conversation with the chief, so you can ask her about different things. She went to Saudi Arabia last year as part of the UNESCO World Heritage to put the Hopewell ceremonial.
Wow.
Yeah. So she has lots and lots of interesting stories to tell. Kim Garcia is a bead worker from the Wyandotte Nation, and she is a cultural preservationist also for her tribe. And then Chief Kalisha Pheasant and Rhonda Hayworth. Obviously, Kalisha is the chief, and then Rhonda's a tribal historic preservation officer. So everybody on Saturday, like their jobs, they're either chiefs or their jobs are language, culture, that kind of thing for their tribe.
Now, is their job... Was it made extremely difficult to almost impossible 150 years ago when they started trying to destroy all of the when the federal government was trying to destroy every bit of these native cultures, and have they been able to recover some or all or parts of it?
So that,
or do we know that yet?
That's the fascinating part of it, and that's part of the story that these tribal people are helping us tell, both in this event and in the exhibit that's now on the lower level of the museum, the permanent exhibit. Yeah. So that's the exact story about how basically the federal government enacted laws and made it legal to forcibly remove Native peoples from their homes, and also made it legal to have boarding schools where children were removed from their homes. And it was all in an effort to erase that culture. And many of the tribes talk about their language, especially going to sleep or being dormant. And it's amazing how tribes have revitalized their culture and their cultural practices and things like beadwork and traditional, traditional beadwork, ribbon work, and also their language. And that's part of what people will hear on both Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm.
And they have been able to recover their languages and most of their traditions?
Yeah, I would say it's certainly they would probably call it a work in progress. It's still a continuum, but yes, they've made great strides in that.
Well, that's good, because you start hearing about that and you get a generation, or two away. That stuff that those people aren't around to tell you about it anymore. It's really tough.
Yeah.
And the ones that are able to tell you about it weren't supposed to know or remember. And and back when they were younger, could have been, I don't know what would have happened to them. It could have been a lot of trouble, but for even speaking their own language. So
it's really wonderful to see them interacting with their kids and making, helping them learn the language.
That's really important.
It is.
And
you gotta get them young.
And the ceremonies and the, I guess, I'm sure there's the dances involved with that and stuff, but there's all kinds of ceremonial things that are just should never be lost.
Yeah, the sense of community. I've been out to a powwow. I've been out to different gatherings, and the sense of community is so wonderful.
That's
just
great.
The sense of joy.
I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah,
because it should be that way, and especially the younger generations embracing it. Even if they like the we'll call them American kids. I don't want anything to do with old grandma, grandpa, and mom and dad. I don't care about any of that. But if they, and then when they're 25, 30, 40, 50, they wish they had paid attention. I'm hoping that the Native kids are paying attention and know that they're getting an education. So we talked about a couple of things, and I started asking dumb questions. So.
No, not dumb at all. You want to go over the Sunday lineup?
Yeah, on Sunday at 10:30, we have Chris Houck and Josh Garcia of the Wyandotte Nation. At noon, we have Doug Pekanga of the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma. At 1:30, Chief Glenna Wallace will be speaking again. I am so privileged to have Chief Glenna here 2 days in a row. I just want to tell everybody that.
Yeah.
Because this woman is remarkable.
Yeah.
She's kind of like, I've got her up on a pedestal a little bit.
And she's probably a little busy, too.
Yeah. She's a very busy woman, and she's happy to come to our event, and it just makes me very happy. At 3 o'clock, we have Claudia Hadeen of the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma.
So Chris Houck and Josh Garcia from the Wyandotte, they both participated last year. I know Chris makes moccasins. He does bead work. His official title is Lifeway Specialist, so he basically does all kinds of cultural type of things. Josh, I know, does bead work. I've seen different wrist cuffs that you've made. They'll also probably have their stick balls here and do stick ball. And they have a beading loom. He worked with the kids a lot last year. Mm-hmm. So he's very personal. All these people are very personal, easy to talk to. Doug Pekanga from the Miami Tribe, Oklahoma, he makes lacrosse sticks in the traditional manner. And so it was just a few years ago that the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma had a lacrosse game at their their annual meeting, so their summer gathering in Miami, Oklahoma. And for the first time, they used all traditionally made lacrosse sticks, and it was very special for them. He will be here. He's also a really good photographer and many other things. He's kind of a good artist in many ways. And Chief Wallace, we've talked about her. And then Claudia does, I think it's called finger weaving, and she's also a wellness coordinator for the tribe. So a lot of maybe foodways and things like that. I'm really interested to see her presentation. And she's, I know all of these people personally, and they're all like great to talk to one-on-one, and I'm really excited about their presentations. And some of them, I know what they're going to speak on, and some I don't. I'm like, oh, I heard you speak on this. I think this would be really good. But, you know, they do this enough that I kind of left it up to them as far as their exact topic, because every time I hear them speak, anything they choose to speak on, I think will be super interesting to everyone, and it will be well presented.
Yeah, and I would say even be very interesting to people that think they don't care about this. I think they'll find out that it's just, you know, they were here first, and they were prosperous before we blew up their
world.
Lives with the smallpox and all the stuff that we brought in. You know, they were doing just fine without us, and it's just interesting. And I did have a question. You were talking about the beadwork. Were there beads before Europeans came? Did they have beads? I know they did shells and that type of thing. My guess is that was something that they were able to adapt from.
Traded.
Yeah.
Traded.
Because I think, if I remember, the Manhattan that was bought for $24 worth of beads.
Yeah. And another thing is a ribbon work. The ribbon work is gorgeous. Like the Miami tribe, they are so gifted.
I assume the Miami tribe will have some ribbon work demonstrations and that type of thing would be my guess. One of the things that I think people will see on Saturday and Sunday, so when we have four tribes represented with you know, eight people each day, so a total of 10 people, is that people will see the difference that between tribes. So the, you know, maybe the beadwork from the Wyandotte looks different than the beadwork that the Miami are doing, and so on. And I know the Ottawa are going to be playing a dice game. It's like a bowl with dice, and there's a certain rule. And I was talking to Doug Bakonga from the Miami tribe of Oklahoma. He said, we have a dice game too, but it's different. And I said, well, that's really interesting. You know, people can see that each tribe has their own culture, their own language, their own practices. And so we're just giving people a little flavor of that here. And so I think that's really a unique opportunity. And I'm so tickled that all these people are giving up Saturday and or a Sunday to come visit with us. And many are coming from Oklahoma.
Yeah. So. And I do have a complaint. It seems like you're having these people an hour and a half apart. You don't have anything chopped off in there for a nap. this is going to wear me out.
Yeah, well, they're
and then 2 days of it.
Speak for about an hour, and then what? But if you are getting tired and you need to walk around, you can take a battlefield tour.
The battlefield tours. How often are they going to be going? Is it going to be whenever they get enough people put together? Or is it scheduled at a certain time? And who's going to be in charge of the battlefield tours?
We have them scheduled throughout the day, and they are at 10:30, noon, 1:30, and 3:00, and they're about an hour long, and Chris will be doing them, and Kevin Nolan from Ball State will be giving the battlefield tours.
Basically, the people that basically built this tour are giving the tour.
That seems
so. They're not going to be somebody like, if I was doing it, I could do a little studying, but one question and I'm done. You know. So the people that actually put this thing together, not slapped it together, but put it together over years.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They do know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I've studied her. I followed her and took notes. Yeah. Well, Kevin's got a different spin. He's got a little different.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yep.
Different take on it. I like listening to them both because I learn things every time I go listen.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We did. So Kim set up as a museum once a month. So one Sunday a month. This summer, we did battlefield tours. And the last one I did in September for the noon tour, we had 31 people for the tour. So, and these tours last year at this event were in the 20 to 30. They're big. So we'll have headsets, you know, it's like professional. So they'll have headsets, and we'll take them kind of partially down the path in the wayside exhibits. But, you know, it's a nice, we don't go all through town. It's not 2 hours, but it's a nice tour. And we ran them at the same time as the speaker because, you know, somebody can go to a tour, take a little break, get something to drink, and then hit the next speaker.
Yep. Yep.
I'm just excited we're offering these because I remember years ago I went with John Winkler on his
tour. Oh, yes.
And I just loved it. It was the first time I'd ever heard it, and I thought it was. But he came back maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 years later, and I hit it another tour. Mm-hmm. But now we can offer them like every month. There's so many more opportunities for people to take this tour.
Yeah,
so I think that's.
Yeah, and we do have people at least nearby that can do that. They don't have to come from, I don't remember where John Winkler was from, but he's not local.
Yeah.
So he can't just pop in and
right.
and make a short day trip and come in and give that. So, and it's so good to have, you know, there's so many people here in town. Myself was included, although I know some more than I did, but that, no, there's a battle here and it was something else and okay, that's it. But there's so much. The first battle was extremely important. Second battle was pretty important too, but that first battle was incredible. And then Chris and her research has found out that it wasn't just a bunch of Indians seeing an opportunity to attack the U.S. Army. They had a plan and they
well executed.
They executed it basically perfectly and virtually destroyed the entire United States Army.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't understand how important this is. And then, of course, 120 or 30 years ago, we built our town right on, our downtown right on top of the battlefield. So we can't.
Heard of it.
Yeah, we can't do the Custer's Last Stand tourist trap thing, but.
That happens, though. That's just the way progress is.
Yeah.
And then just, I kind of wanted to set the visual for people, and I can only do this because we had this event last year. So if you think about behind the museum where you have the path, mm-hmm. so the speakers are going to be in a tent, you know, because we were a little worried about the weather. We shouldn't have been because the weather's going to be great. But there's going to be a tent that is going to be on the amphitheater stage. And so that's where the speakers are going to be, and probably the sides will be off, so it'll be nice and open since it's going to be a nice day. And there'll be chairs. So that will be where the speakers are. And then the battlefield tours start right behind the museum. And then when the tribal participants aren't speaking, then they will be under, like, awning canopy tents along the walking path. And then there's another big tent that will be behind the museum that we had for a backup in case of the weather. And we'll probably, the Ottawa bingo and dice game will probably be in there towards the front of the tent. So it's, like, a very, like, super relaxed. I know Kim's arranging to have picnic tables around. So last year, people would go to different things and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, go get something to eat. Tin Cupboard will have food all day and then relax at the picnic tables.
So Tin Cupboard at Tin Cupboard, or are they going to bring food down?
They're going to be down there. We're going to set up.
That's awesome.
The park. Yeah.
So we appreciate that.
Thank you, Joanne.
Yeah.
Gosh, well, because especially because the food's awesome.
It's a lot. And she didn't hesitate. I asked her and said, yep.
Yeah, she's in. I don't know if she has any idea how to say the word no.
Yeah, I'm starting to realize that. She's awesome.
She never says no to anything. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get into some more details about more stuff. And we'll be back right after this.
Clinchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at clinchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Clinchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Since 1989, Case IH Maxim Series tractors have earned a reputation for longevity, reliability, and productivity. Find out how the latest generation of Maxim can raise your productivity at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Start with the Active Drive 8 dual-clutch transmission, delivering a wider range of working speeds without torque interruptions or manual gear changes. And with models ranging from 116 to 145 horsepower plus a two-wheel drive option, there's a Case IH Maxim Series tractor to meet your needs. To learn more, visit Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery today.
It's time for supper and you don't have time to make a great meal. No problem. Let Miracle Lanes come to the rescue. With their full menu of great food, everybody can get what they want. Subs, sandwiches, wraps, salads, wings, and of course their great pizza. Just call them at 375-4274, then drive through and pick it up. And don't miss their pizza, wing, and salad buffet on Friday at lunch. And remember to call and reserve your lanes for that special birthday party, family get-together, holiday party, or just for fun. Great food, great friends, great times. Miracle Lanes, open Monday through Thursday at 3 and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 11. Mark your calendars for a very important event happening here in Fort Recovery. It's the return of Beyond the Battlefield and St. Clair's Defeat, connecting with the tribal nations of today, coming up on Saturday and Sunday, October 19th and 20th. There will be 10 official representatives from four tribes who will be here to help interpret their tribe's history and culture. There will be several scheduled presentations on both days, and official representatives from several of the tribes will be on the museum grounds all weekend, and visitors are welcome to ask questions and have discussions with them. You can also take the battleground tour and visit various other historical sites around town, and our museum will be open to the public at no charge. Check the Fort Recovery Museum Facebook page for details and updates. If you didn't make it to Beyond the Battlefield last year, this is your chance to learn even more about what really happened here in 1791. Most of us know about the U.S. Army side of the battle, and now here's our chance to get the Native Americans' perspective on this battle that changed the course of American history. Get to the museum grounds on Saturday and Sunday, October 19th and 20th, for Beyond the Battlefield, interpreting St. Clair's defeat through the eyes of tribal citizens. You don't want to miss it.
Welcome back to Insight. We have folks from the Beyond the Battlefield event that's coming up this Saturday and Sunday at our Fort Museum grounds. And Bantry's Park also, right, all right there together. So, and we talked about some of the Native American speakers and so forth that we're going to have. What else is going on? What do we want to talk about next?
Well, the museum is open, so yep. People, if they haven't seen in a while, we have some new things to look at. The downstairs has always been just a general community room where there's meetings mm-hmm. and speakers would be down there. Well, that is totally changed. I spent a month or so over the winter stripping the wallpaper down and cleaning it up, painting it to get it ready for an exhibit that we won through a grant, another grant that Chris applied for us. It's the American 250 Ohio Commission grant. Mm-hmm. And with this grant, we got, if people recall, we had a traveling exhibit last year mm-hmm. at the museum, and it was called St. Clair's Defeat Revisited, A New View of the Conflict. And it was a large exhibit, barely fit into the upstairs, the main museum. So I think they had this idea that, wow, we have all the information, it could easily be turned into a smaller version. So we went ahead and applied for the grant, got it, and then now we've had that same exhibit scaled down to fit into the basement room. So it's there now. It's all set up. It's ready to be viewed. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I remember the one upstairs, and it was really interesting because mm-hmm. there's some of it you're looking at and go, yep, knew that. Looking at this over here and go, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's the exact same exhibit. It's rearranged so it fits. Mm-hmm. And we got it on portable banners that pull up. They retract down into cases so we can actually move it. It's portable. We could take it out if we needed to. But right now it's all set up all around the perimeter of the room. We have a welcome video in there, and the room's beautiful. I'm just so happy how it turned out.
Good. I haven't gone down there. I usually stick my nose in there sometime or other during the...
Yep, You'll have to get down there this weekend and check it out. It's well worth it.
Well, and Neil, you mentioned that there were parts of that exhibit we were like, I didn't know that. When Kim and I would be working at the museum during the traveling exhibit, because we were open like Friday, Saturday, Sundays, people would come out and they'd want to talk about it. They'd want to talk about, why didn't we know this? This is horrible. This really happened. This made me sad. Sometimes it'd make people angry. Why weren't we taught this? And it was actually it was sad tearing down the museum and the exhibit, and then taking it to the Fort Wayne History Center is where it went next. Because it was like, oh, we're taking this wonderful content that people really enjoyed and made them think. So, yeah, we are beyond tickled to now have that as a permanent exhibit. And I just want to add, the grant also funded a second set of those banners. So what you see in the basement, there's a duplicate set, and it's actually going to travel to three other museums across the state of Ohio within the next year. So one is Belmont County Heritage Museum in St. Clairsville, Ohio.
St. Clairsville.
There you
okay.
go.
Yep.
And then the next is Hopewell Culture National Historic Park.
Ooh.
So an actual National Park Service unit will have St. Clair's Defeat Revisited at its park from November to April, and then in May it will go to the University of Akron. They have a museum there that will have it.
How did Akron get picked?
I'll tell you how. I presented with several of the tribal people that helped put the exhibit together. We presented in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Oklahoma City, one of them, at a conference in November 2023. And this lady was at the conference from the University of Akron, and she asked, how can I get this exhibit at our museum? And so that's how it started.
So there was some interest. It wasn't like obvious, like the St. Clairsville and the Hopewell. But of course, that's
all of them asked for.
That's original culture stuff, and not necessarily the tribes that were here, but that follows. Akron is rubber capital of the world. That didn't make sense to me.
So,
if they, if they're interested in it and they think that can put some people in there to see what really happened, and they probably have never heard of Fort Recovery or even the battle, or a bunch of people haven't, and it's important.
But it was designed to fit. It was designed to fit in the museum, the lower level exhibit room now, and then the second set is going to these other.
Yep.
Venues, so.
That's awesome.
It is.
That is really good.
Yes.
And where else have you had this display? You've had it several other places, haven't you?
So the original traveling exhibit was at Fort Recovery in November 2023 through January 2024. And then it went to the History Center in Fort Wayne, Indiana from January to May 2024. Mm-hmm. And then since May, it's been at Northeastern Oklahoma College in Miami, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Then in December, it comes to the Ohio History Center, and it will actually open at the Ohio History Center in Columbus on January 15th, and it'll run through mid to late August of next year. So lots of people are going to hear the story.
Yes. And most people should have known it forever. And, like one of you said something about the people around here, why weren't we taught this? Well, it wasn't important enough. But it is important enough. And whoever was writing the history books either didn't know or didn't understand.
I don't know. I grew up in this town, and you get busy with life, and you just don't. If you didn't learn it in high school and you get on with your life, and I didn't know a lot when I joined the historical side. I was pretty ignorant, honestly. I couldn't listen to Chris and everybody else do these tours, and I was just blowing all the water. I felt really stupid.
I don't think the intent is not to make people feel stupid at all. It's not pleasant. Some of these topics aren't
ignorant.
Pleasant.
How's that? Ignorant.
It's not pleasant to talk about forcibly removing people from their homes.
Yep.
And that,
which is why
it
was kind of swept under the rug and all that.
That there's a law that enabled that in 1832. And it's not pleasant to think about, Native children being taken away from their parents and taken taken to boarding schools and sometimes getting sick and not returning home. I mean, those aren't pleasant things to talk about. And so, you know, that's why those unpleasantries in the exhibit then are followed by tribes today, where you see how tribes persisted and how vibrant they are today. And because of, you don't want to end the story on, you know, dwelling on all these bad parts when there's really, really a really good story to tell that came after.
Yeah. Yep. Let's take another quick break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more and get some more good information and be back after this.
Guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
It's summer, and that means lots of cookouts, and Wayne IGA has everything you need. They have great prices on their nicely trimmed steaks, ready to go in their grab-and-go meat case. And don't forget about their hamburgers, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. While you're there getting your grilling supplies, be sure to grab everything that goes with your cookout. Fresh vegetables, potato salad, macaroni salad, chips and dips, and how about a veggie or meat and cheese tray? And be sure to check out their large selection of wine and beer. Make Wayne IGA your headquarters for all your cookouts this year. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this weekend on Fort Recovery Radio. Our Lady Indians beat the Yellow Springs Lady Bulldogs earlier tonight in their first tournament match, and they'll now take on the Twin Valley South Lady Panthers on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. down at Arcanum. On Friday, it will be football senior night as our Indians will take on the Anarockets. The dedication of the Joe Bruns Memorial Putting Green will take place at 5:45 in front of the elementary middle school, and the senior night recognition for football and cheer will be at 6:30 at Barenbrogy Field, and our pregame show will begin after that at around 6:40, and our audio will also be heard on the NFHS video. Get out and support our Indians teams this weekend, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Welcome back to Insight, where we are speaking with Kim Rammel, the museum director, president of the Historical Society, and Chris Thompson, who just invented this whole thing of how the Indians did stuff. And
I don't think so, but thanks,
Neil. Well, researched like crazy and wouldn't let go, and that's incredible, because you know you were absolutely determined to find out how this battle happened, where all the rest of it just took for granted that the Indians saw them and, you know, they knew they were coming, so they amassed and just ran at them. That isn't what happened.
But, yeah.
So
I had lots of people helping.
Yes.
Lots of people.
Well, yeah. But somebody had to say, we're not letting go of this. We're going after. But anyway, it just...
Well, I think it was important that Chris was from this hometown.
Yes,
she must
absolutely
admit that. It was a little bit easier approaching and knocking on doors when she's dealing Kathy Toby's daughter.
Yeah.
I do. I tell that story, and I'm not sure if I've ever given a presentation, like even at a professional conference, or I don't mention that this is my hometown, because it does put me in a unique position. I think I want to do right by local townspeople. I certainly want to do right by the Native partners, by, you know, if I'm speaking from a Ball State perspective, by the partnership with the Fort Recovery Historical Society. So it's like you want to satisfy all the people that are stakeholders in this. So it's really a unique position to be in. And it's kind of an honor. It's an honor to be in this position, I think.
So what are we talking about next?
Well, we were just talking about the museum itself and the new exhibit in the basement, and the rest of the museum is going to be open for people to come in as well. The main exhibit, the pre-contact room upstairs. And we recently, which a lot of people probably have noticed, last year we redid the blockhouses. They jacked them up and they resealed them, and they look great, but we didn't have a palisade wall. And that just recently, I think Chris Bechtel is working on it today. He's putting the last finishing touches on it. And so that's available for people to come and see. It's beautiful. I really have to commend Dean Zeringer's vision with this wall, because he wanted it to look as real as, what's the word I'm searching for?
Authentic.
Authentic as possible. You look at it, and that look, that rough look, there's a reason, because they waited and let the bark fall off. They peeled that bark off. And that was tedious, but they wanted that, they needed that rough look, because mm-hmm. they knew that's what it should look like.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I had to go over and tell them, I don't like it. The posts aren't all the same height.
Yeah.
Because that's how it used to be. Yeah. All nice and even across
Dean
there.
Dean said it wouldn't have been even, and he's right.
No, it couldn't have been even.
No, it would not have been even. And Dean wanted his look.
He appreciated your yeah. expert opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Chop it all off so they're all even. They're all flush. That's that German, that's our German heritage. You want things tidy and straight. But no, Dean had a vision, and he did a great job.
Yes.
And Chris was out there. He put a lot of work into it. So I must give a shout out to those guys and their crew.
Yeah.
Had a big crew out there. So what we're doing, we've been thinking about this for probably a year and a half. And Paul McDaniel, he works at the museum, and him mm-hmm. and I have bounced ideas around about how to make the blockhouse more, because you go in now and it's empty. The kids like it. They go in, they go upstairs and look around. It's fun. But we wanted to add something to it, so we put our heads together, and Paul came up with making some interpretive posters, and we put that inside the blockhouse.
Oh.
So between all of us, Chris had them printed, and we framed them, and we hung them up in the blockhouse. And it's going to help talk about the Battle for Recovery. We took the posters straight from the research that was done through Ball State, the different diagrams of the battle, mm-hmm. So that it'll really help people understand. And hopefully, in the future, we're going to add more. Mm-hmm. We're going to add more, and we're actually looking to open up the North Blockhouse, since it's cleaned up and it's stable now, so we can add maybe a different type of interpretive display.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Exhibit in there, too.
It's been there.
We've never used it as anything that the public went
into. Decades ago, you could go in there, but the last 30 or 40 years has been storage.
Yeah, so we cleaned all that out.
Yep.
And we don't know how we're heading with it, but the OHC just put a bunch of money in this Ohio History Connection.
Yeah.
They refurbished it last year. We had it jacked up, which was an incredible amount of money to do that.
Yeah.
And then they stripped it down and restained it, so it'll hold up better. And they also put all the new lights in them now this year. They paid to have lights put in, so that'll help us.
Like in Pioneer Days.
Yeah, just like in Pioneer Days, right,
Not quite authentic, but that's okay.
Yeah, but
I don't care,
but
it's nice.
We don't want to go authentic, we'll burn the place down if we go with...
Lights are good.
Oil lights or campfires or whatever it was they had in there, I don't know. But
it's kind of gloomy in there, so lights are good.
Yes.
So that'll help us if we want to set something up in there. Now we can see it, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
So during the event, both days, we're going to have tours. What we'll do is we're going to kind of piggyback the blockhouse tours onto the battlefield tours. So that'll end, and then they can go on and do a 30-minute tour of the blockhouse, and Paul's going to do those.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome.
So, and we'll have somebody in the blockhouse all day too, just to guide people through. But mm-hmm. Paul will give a more in-depth 30-minute tour three times, or no, twice.
Well, once a day, I think.
Saturday, once he's just going to do it once. Okay,
once a day.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they'll have to catch the schedule.
Yep.
Want to catch that.
Yep. That's that's what people see when they think of Fort Recovery. It's that. And now you know, I know the everything was kind of settling, and the chimney on the blockhouse number one was separating from the building, and that's been somewhat taken care of. I think Dean said, oh, it doesn't satisfy me yet. So
might be something happening with that, but I can't talk about it yet.
Okay.
Might be some good stuff happening around those ugly chimneys.
That's good.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
OHC has been really a good partner for us. I can call them and talk to them about these things. So
And they know who you are when you call.
They do. They know who I am. I hope that's a good thing.
That's not how it used to was.
Yeah.
they wouldn't take a call. They wouldn't answer an email. Is just, you know.
I can call up our project director and talk to her right on the, you know. She'll pick up and answer my call.
Well, if I can expand on that, the research that Ball State has done the last 15 years, that really would have ended after the first couple years if it had not been for the Ohio History Connection's interest in that and the opportunities they gave us to get to know these tribal people. So the tribes became interested in our research, and then they became interested in co-creating things like the exhibit with us. So that connection, or that partnership, was Ohio History Connection at this site. That's what really, that's the key to making this all happen, in my opinion. Because they actually have a annual Tribal Nations Conference, Ohio History Connection in Ohio Department of Transportation and Federal Highways in Columbus, Ohio. And they have allowed Ball State to present the St. Clair's Defeat research at every one of those the last 10 or 11 years. So that is how these 10 tribal participants, that's how that relationship got formed, and basically how we fed it over the years is through all these partnerships. So
this is a culmination of all that relationship building. It's huge.
Yeah, it is.
Because you can't,
it's incredible.
People say, how do you do this? It's like, it's the relationships. Strictly the relationships. If you don't have it, you're not going to have events like this.
And so, part of that relationship is they know that you want to know what really happened and not just...
I think it comes down to trust.
Just blow out the same stuff that we heard 50 years ago, that this is what happened and those mean old Indians came and killed a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean, you try to be a good partner and you try to... like Kim said, it's hard to... When people say, how do we do this at our site? It's hard to replicate this when the site doesn't... You know, the fact that the Fort Recovery Museum is an Ohio History Connection site, that's huge. That's huge for all this research and all these relationships, and it really is. So you can't. And I hope, I know several of the Ohio History Connection people are coming this weekend, so I'm glad for that.
Yeah,
because I want them to share in the excitement and the you know, being proud.
It's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And finally, it's important to them. Mm-hmm. And it didn't used to be. We were... ugly stepsister on the almost in Indiana, and they didn't, you know. So now somebody somehow made them aware of what we're doing here, and I appreciate it a lot. And so as far as the Native American, the tribes that exist now, how much did they know about the battle, and how important is that and was that to them over the last 200 years? Do we know?
Well, I can tell a couple stories. So, and one I can answer real quick. Obviously, it's important because we have 10 people that are coming this weekend.
Yeah.
So it's that important. You know, either they're coming on their own time or their tribes have authorized them to use it as work time. So either way.
And they're not important. Driving over from Muncie.
Yeah.
Or Columbus.
No, they're coming from Oklahoma, half of them. So that shows the importance. One of the stories I tell quite often is that 6 years ago when we first, when Ball State University, so my colleague and I, Kevin Nolan, we had our first meeting for that traveling exhibit. So we went out to Oklahoma and we met with, we called the group Tribal Humanity Scholars. So 11 tribal citizens who were interested in this project and telling the story St. Clair's defeat. And so we had this big all-day meeting. We had this huge agenda. I was like super prepared. I'm always prepared, but I was like over the top prepared. I had three different PowerPoints. I was like, okay, if the conversation goes this way, we'll use this PowerPoint. And conversation goes this way, we got this prepared. And I was like all over it. And then we were like 30 minutes into the meeting, and we asked the question, is there anybody else in your tribe we should talk to that knows more about St. Clair's defeat? And they were like, no. And here's why. And for 90 minutes, that group talked about things like broken trees and forced removal from their homelands. They talked about boarding schools and how for several generations, you know, children weren't allowed to speak their language, and they were punished, you know, for practicing their culture. And this chain of storytelling was broken. And so all these stories and this culture wasn't passed down. And these were personal stories. This just wasn't, I mean, these were like about their aunties and their grannies. And I was kind of dumbfounded. And my colleague and I said, if we did anything right, is we didn't say a word, like literally for 90 minutes. We kind of gave each other the eyes, like, don't say anything. And it was these very personal stories about why they don't know as much about this and why this research is so important to them. And then finally, after 90 minutes, Chief Wallace says, oh, I'm sorry, we've messed up your meeting and messed up your agenda. And we're like, no, this is it. This is a story that needs to be told. So that traveling exhibit and how it's arranged with 25% of it talking about the background and the precursor to St. Clair's defeat, and about a quarter of it talking about St. Clair's defeat, and then the whole rest of the exhibit talking about the aftermath and tribes today, that came out of that conversation. So all that preparation,
so
I did.
So it's exactly like what you planned.
I didn't use any of the PowerPoints, and they laugh about the tribal people love it when I tell that story. They're like, oh yeah, you were so prepared, and we just blew it up. I mean, they didn't blow it up. It's like,
right. You found out that you had the information that you had, and they and you didn't have the information that they had.
And yeah. Also during, so we had three, then we had three meetings. So every single word you see in that traveling exhibit in the basement of our museum, mm-hmm. or in the lower level of our museum, we're not calling it the basement anymore.
well, because there's a door right outside that goes right straight outside.
Lower level.
Yep.
Is every single word and every single image was put up on a projector in front of those 11 tribal humanities scholars, and we wordsmithed. So I would do a draft. My colleague and I would do a draft, and it was like getting your paper graded in front of these 11 important people. And they'd be like, nope, don't like that. And some parts, you know, we did pretty good on, and sometimes parts we missed the mark. And that was the most humbling experience. But also, I'd look around, and there's, you know, there's two chiefs. And I'm thinking, don't they have, like, other chief things to do? I'm sure they have important, all these people have important things to do, but this is so important to them, they chose to be here today. So that's how significant it is to them to have a story told properly and told the way they would like it told, and to spend their time here with us in our village talking about these things. So I don't, I mean, those are two very personal stories, but I think it shows how, you know, how important it is to them.
It has to be kind of very pleasing and humbling to find out you had this great presentation. You're going to tell them this, this, and this, and show them this, and you had several different things in case the conversation went this way, and that wasn't any of it at all. And so to say, well, let's use that and not any of this thing that we spent 6 weeks putting together. We're going to use the real stuff and not try to spin it our way or try to make it fit into our outline that we had. Just, you know, we'll go with what they think, because that's where you what you wanted to start with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had, I'm going to guess you had zero chance of having any idea where that conversation was going to go.
I had no idea. And it was almost
Was there any way you could have anticipated that?
No.
That's what it sounds like.
Those experiences that they described were not my experiences. So I had no perception of what they were talking about, and it was almost freeing, because then we both knew at that point it wasn't our story to tell anymore. All we were there is to facilitate how they wanted the story to be told. And there's like professionally, that was like the greatest thing in the world, because then you basically leaned on them as how should we do this the best way.
Well, thanks for not trying to fit their stuff into your outline.
It wouldn't have been near as good.
No, but it would have been yours.
Yeah.
So you could have said, I did that.
Yeah.
But instead, you let them do that, which is exactly how it needed to go.
And that's how important it was to them.
And how long did it take, Chris? How many years?
Six years. So these things don't, you know, sometimes these things don't move fast, and especially when you're augmenting it with grant money. So we've received grant funding from the National Endowment for the Humanities, the National Park Service, the Ohio Humanities, the American 250 Ohio Commission, other kind of local. And so, you know, you are on a schedule, and it's not always your schedule, but, you know, everybody, you have to be patient. And then, you know, you throw COVID in there in the middle of all this. And so you just have to be patient. And, you know, sometimes it's worth waiting to do it correctly. And so
when's the PBS special coming out?
We do have that 15-minute welcome video. So.
Well, that's really
good. And it won a
Telly Award, like a silver award in the history non-broadcast category. So, the videographer submitted it. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So let's take another break here, and we'll come back and either we'll go over all the stuff again that's going to happen and try to grab anything that we have left out. So we'll be back in just a minute or two.
Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Vores, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Vores Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Vores Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4044.
It's time for the Wendelin Sports Club's Fall Fish and Chicken Fry, coming up on Friday evening, November 1st, from 4:30 to 7. Stop out for this fall treat. It's all the chicken and fish you want, along with their large variety of side dishes, and carryouts are available too. Don't miss the Wendelin Sports Club's Fall Chicken and Fish Buffet, coming up on Friday, November 1st, from 4:30 to 7. Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 5th, and that means the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7, and drive-through carryouts will also be available. The meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, salad, dessert, and a drink. You can just stop by for your all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. Tickets can be purchased at the door. The dinners are only $9 each, and all proceeds go to their local Friends in Need Fund. That's the annual Election Day all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday evening, November 5th, at the Trinity Lutheran Church at the corner of Wayne Street and State Route 49.
to Insight, and we're talking with the folks from the trying to remember the name of the exhibit, Battleground.
Well, beyond
the battleground.
Battlefield.
Yep. So, what things haven't we talked about yet?
There's a couple things down on the list yet. We are having a children's story time each day. About 20 minutes, but each of the chiefs that is coming is going to read a book, one of their favorite books, to any kids we can round up. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
1 o'clock each day?
Yeah, 1 o'clock, 1 to 1:20 each day. It's just something fun they're going to throw in, and then they can ask questions. We're going to have, they can ask questions of the chiefs if they'd like. And we're also going to have the tool shop open, like the blacksmith shop. Mm-hmm. And Ken Liam's going to give demonstrations in there from 12 to 1 each day. So that's fun. He really enjoys doing that. So they can also go walk around, visit the log cabin, the walk-by museum, look at the murals in Craning Park, look at our new wall in Craning Park. It's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, that is really neat, and that inset that they did there that's awesome. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
I figured we're going to tear the wall down, and by the way, I want to tell everybody, the wall was crumbling. People were worried that we had more life in it, but it didn't.
Well,
it's seen its best life.
My thought was that it was always stacked up what they would have been back in the old days, but it was... Instead of these rocks laying down on top of each other, they were all face.
Yeah.
And in there. And so the actual wall was only an inch thick.
Yeah, and there was a bunch of junk behind it. They filled it with junk.
Yeah.
And when they tore it down, it was like all this junk fell out. So,
was any of it historical cool junk?
I don't know. It's gone. It's gone. Yeah, we like the wall. It's going to add a lot. It adds a lot to the Wayne Street.
And I heard lots of neat comments. I was just kind of standing around there for about 10 minutes and during the car show that I had last Saturday, and I heard lots of good comments.
That's awesome. That is the historical site. It funded that whole thing, so we get a little shout out to them.
Yep.
Everybody agreed that it was a good idea, and we went ahead and did it. And Steve Stone put it up. His crew did a wonderful job. Steve worked with me in designing it.
Yep.
What would be the best thing to get the maximal use out of that area?
Yep.
To put the edge on it to sit.
So people can sit there.
The inset, so we could have get people off the sidewalk so there'd be more space.
Yep.
Yeah. And we're going to get hand railings too, if anybody is wondering about that. We're
just not there railings. Yet.
So to go back, to go over these 2 days, so Saturday we're going to have speakers, 10:30, 12, 1:30, and 3, and then Sunday we'll have another set of speakers, and there'll be demonstrations going on both days all the time. They'll be at tables, and they'll be demonstrating their different unique material culture, from each tribe. Mm-hmm. So people can just wander around, walk around, and grab something to eat, go look at some demonstrations, get on a battlefield tour, go in the museum. It's just so much. It's going to be so fun. I'm excited.
Yes. Like I said, but you didn't put another hour or two in there for my nap.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm going to need it.
We see you underneath a tree taking a nap.
Well,
no. I'll miss something.
We need to set up some hammocks out there, too. Make that happen.
But I'll miss something. I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah.
So
I think that's about it.
So in general, the presentation start at 10 a.m. and go every hour and a half.
10:30,
and then go, so 10:30, noon, 1:33.
Yeah.
And the battlefield tours are at about that same time. Mm-hmm. That's Saturday and Sunday for each of those, and the presentations will not be duplicates on Saturday or Sunday. It might be some of the same people, but it won't be the same presentation.
The only person that's speaking twice is Chief Wallace, and she might very well have two different presentations.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say, when people come, we would love for them to stop at the Porch of the Museum. The Porch of the Museum will be like a little welcome center. Mm-hmm. So we'll have agendas that have all this on it. Like Kim and I
are reading from one of the agendas. Have all the information on it. We'll have a little, you know, attendance sheet because we kind of like to track how many people. We'll have like greeters at the table. Yeah. So, you know, especially out of town guests, they know where everything is. But, you know, it's all going to be, you know, right there at the museum, behind the museum and in the amphitheater.
Yep. And food will be available from the tin cupboard and food and drinks. And she did that the last time, didn't she?
She did. It wasn't all day, though. We only had her there for a couple hours, and we had people go, we wanted food. So I asked Joanne, and she said, sure. She'd make it happen.
Yeah, like I said, she doesn't know the word no. She just said, need something? Yep, and I'll take care of it.
The weather order came in.
Yeah.
Yep,
we have to have some cold weather sometimes. They're putting it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I know. I saw the sleet the other day, and I thought, oh, my gosh. And I kept looking at my phone, checking the weather.
Supposed to be low 70s?
71 Saturday and 74 on Sunday. And
yeah.
Could not have ordered it any better.
Yep.
Perfect.
We don't want a whole bunch of wind messing with the tents, but other than that, a little breeze isn't going to hurt anything either.
Yeah.
You're going to have the presentations at the Hine Amphitheater.
We're going to put a tent right on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought that way, because then it's accessible. There's a sidewalk. You can park behind, and you can come right up on the ramp to get up if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was nice. It's a nice thing to have.
And also, there's going to be smaller tents of these presenters
mm-hmm.
that you can go speak to them and see what their skill is that they're displaying or whatever it might be, and you can actually talk to these people and they want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. We initially were going to put them all in a tent because we thought mm-hmm. we were just going to rent two tents and do it that way. They really liked having it kind of spread out along the sidewalk because it was just mm-hmm. kind of nice.
Yeah, the Frankie walkway.
It was kind of stretched out so people they could have the groups could, people when people came, they'd be kind of separated,
mm-hmm.
which worked out really well last year.
Yep.
So we were excited that the weather held. And so the merchants loaned us some of those canopy tents.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kelly Walters.
Perfect. Why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And then we went over and got those so we're going to set those up too.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is
nice.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. And last year, some impromptu stickball lacrosse games kind of broke out.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
I would suspect that will happen again.
We even did a social dance last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So anything else we want to throw out there before we...
Yeah, I think we hit it all, Neil.
It's all free.
It's all free.
Oh,
free.
Yes, free. Museum's free.
Yeah.
The souvenirs in the museum, those aren't free.
No.
But,
or the food.
Yeah. Joanne can't donate all the food. That's not going to work very well for her. So I was there for some of it last year. It's going to be different again this year. You'll hear different things. If you were there, it's going to be different. If you weren't there, get there. It's just it's important that we know our history. And even if you're one of those people that I probably was like when I was 20, okay, big deal. But you kind of wish you'd paid attention when the people were telling you stuff. A few years down the road, you're going to wish you remembered all that stuff.
And these people are traveling so far to come here. It's so important to them. I think I'd like to see them, the town, just welcome them here and let them know that they're interested in their story.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
And they are not giving lectures.
No, they're just... They're
giving a talk, and I don't know, some of them, if I remember correctly, allowed people to ask questions while they were doing a little presentation, but most of them talked 5, 10, 15 minutes, and then people asked questions for an hour. And,
last year, that was interesting, wasn't it? That was kind of more of a Q&A kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
whether that happens again this year or not, but you're just going to learn a bunch of stuff.
It's not going to be set up the same way. This is going to be more of them telling, what their specific interest is,
mm-hmm.
which it'll be good. It's going to be a lot more content, actually, this year.
What's interesting and I think unique is that you can go listen to one of these presentations, like, Jared and his textile making and how he did historical research, and then you can go talk to him in his tent and you can watch him do it and he can show you how to do it. And he he tried to show me how to do it. And there's a certain textile method you kind of roll it against like your pants leg is how you do it. And I wasn't doing it very well. He said, I think it's the material of your pants. And I thought, Jared, you're just so sweet. I think it's me. but that's kind of like the unique, you know, you can hear a presentation, you can just go down and have a conversation with them and talk to them about that subject or anything, any subject. Yeah. So just the personal relationship and being able
just
to talk.
Getting to know them. Like Jared, yeah. She's talking about Jared. Does he have his doctorate from Miami University?
I think so.
I think he went for his doctorate. And this very well educated, just the sweetest guy. And he's just so talented. And it's just neat hearing their stories.
And he has to be, those people have to be very, very happy that there's idiots like us that didn't know anything about it that are really interested in what their story is. And, you know, we weren't for 200 and something years.
Oh, he came back for the second year, so I must have enjoyed it last year.
Yep. So. He came back.
All right. Well, Kim Rammel, Chris Thompson, we really appreciate you guys coming in and talking about this. And I absolutely, I was going to say urge. I'm going to order everybody to get down there Saturday and or Sunday and get yourself educated on what really happened around here and what the repercussions of were of what happened around here and what happened later. So
You won't be disappointed.
And you can get tin cupboard food. Thanks for stopping in, girls. We'll be back with Sports Talk in just a couple of minutes.
Thank you for staying tuned to Inside with Mr. Jack Sogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part